Good afternoon and welcome to another beautiful afternoon in Anchorage, Alaska. You're listening to Hometown Alaska and I am your host, Kathleen McCoy. Alaska-style entrepreneurship is our topic today with a couple of different ways in. In our first half hour, we'll talk about the annual Alaska Business Plan Competition hosted by local universities and businesses. In our promo, I called this Alaska's version of the TV show The Shark Tank, with the caveat that here the emphasis is on education and nurturing. We've got two judges from this year's competition in the studio to tell us what they saw and what they liked, and we have one of the winners here with us, actually, suddenly in the last 30 seconds, two of the winners with us in the studio, eventually. We expect a couple of other winners maybe to give us a call on the phone, so we'll get a variety of experiences from the competitors. So I'd like to welcome our judges, Mike Martin. Hi, Mike.
How are you doing?
Great, from North Rim Bank. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, great to be here. So North Rim Bank, loan officer, but also, full disclosure, also president of the board of Alaska Public Media. So.
That's right. Thanks for saying that. Yeah. And then we have John Bittner from the AEDC. Hi, John.
Hi, Kathleen.
And John was just here about a month ago for TEDx. So welcome back. Yes, he is everywhere. And then we also have Harry Leffler here with us, who's was a competitor in the competition. Hi, Harry.
Hello. How are you?
Welcome. And I believe your partner is going to be here.
Yes.
So you may hear from Brian McKinnon here shortly. He's not in the studio with us yet, but I expect him to be here. That competition was late in April, so we're kind of looking back to the competition. But folks can start getting ready for next year's competition, and it does take a while to get ready. And there's some things this summer that might get your noggin going in the right direction. We have an entrepreneurship week coming up, and we'll be talking about that with John Bittner. That includes a maker fair. There's a whole maker movement that's kind of innovative and leads to creative solutions, and that might lead to ideas for businesses, who knows, and a couple hackathons, which are fun. And so we'll be talking about that kind of in the second half hour. So let's get started. And I do want to invite our audience in. If you really think you've got a good idea, we got a couple experts here who might give you a thumbs up or thumbs down or tip or two. So give us a call. You can reach us at 550-8433. Or you can send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So let's get started with the business plan competition, and I thought we should tell people who don't know about it a little bit about what it is. It's almost a decade old. I looked back. There's lists of winners on the website, and you guys were not there from day one, but you've been there for a while. So let's start just explaining what it is.
Right. So John and I are two of the sharks, apparently.
You are the sharks, yeah.
I don't think the judges look at themselves as sharks.
Of course not. Yeah, no, of course not.
I think like John, we've both been judges for 3 years. And so kind of the deal as a judge is there are all kinds of business plans that are submitted through the university, through students. Many times these are real deals that are out there through the university. They get sort of jammed into a business plan, and then they get published to the judges. We review them. We pick, I think, the best six this year.
Yeah.
And just from reading them. And then from that, then those folks are asked to make a presentation in front of the sharks like John.
That's the Shark Tank part,
yeah,
right?
Very much so.
Which is a good experience. Yeah. And so, John, anything to add to that description?
What I love about this this particular competition is that it is a combination of not any one university. It's UAA, it's APU, it's University of Southeast, it's, as well as local businesses, the Team Network, AEDC, SBDC. A lot of people come together on a biweekly basis over the course of the year to really make this possible. And the event that's come out of it, I mean, I think Michael definitely agree, has become a really amazing and powerful showcase for local entrepreneurs.
Right. And actually, the folks that put this on are also kind of behind, and I think that's Scott Fredrickson from APU.
Yeah.
A number of people. It wouldn't be right to just name one or two. I know Alan Johnson is always at those meetings.
Yeah. Christy Bell with UACED.
Yeah. So it's really widely supported and think-tanked and kind of incubated through the year then launched. And the other thing I wanted folks to know about is there's a free speaker series that goes on with this. So it even moves outside of the university into the community. So things like, how do you pick a leadership team or how do you use social media? I remember those are some of the things I heard them advertising. And then there's a boot camp that folks can kind of, both sort of newbies that are just getting started, but also maybe some experienced people. So those are a lot of resources. I think the talks are free, but I think the boot camp is really affordable.
Yeah, and I think one of the other things that's so cool about it, at least from the judge side, is that you've got a real mix of folks who are judging the business plan. So there are two bankers, so Chad Stedman from First National Bank Alaska, and of course me from North Rim Bank. But you also have people who are absolutely angel investors. You've got academics and just, you know, there's sort of a whole different range of folks who are all looking at different things, which is, I think it's nice because you've got this huge range of folks who are all looking at something different.
A little different slice of it. So, well, I want to welcome Brian McKinnon, who joined us here unexpectedly. We thought we were going to hear from you on the phone. So welcome to the studio, Brian.
Thank you.
And actually, this is a nice transition to go to. You're both a team. Harry and Brian were a team.
Yes, ma'am.
And placed first in this year's competition.
Yes.
And also third, which is kind of interesting. How does that happen? So why don't you jump in, Brian, and tell us about the first place winning?
The first place company is Agnuna Technologies. It's based around a safer industrial fueling system I invented after getting hurt as an industrial fueler. I kind of set out to change the industry, and we're doing very good, and it's going forward very well.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of opportunity for your services in this state. We have a lot of fuel that has to travel a lot around the state.
Right? Oh, absolutely. The fueling companies have been very cooperative, and especially the North Slope Oil Companies.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I wanted to say is, where do your ideas come from? So I see that your idea came from the real world.
Mm-hmm.
So have you been in that business already and saw the gap and decided?
Yeah, I was a fueler for a couple of years and actually ended up getting chemical pneumonia and ended up in the hospital.
Is that from inhaling fumes or something like that? I see.
Yeah.
And then, and thus, while you were laying in the hospital, you thought, there's a better way?
To a certain extent, we got out, and I went on the internet looking for something better and realized there was nothing out. So after contacting the EPA and asking them some questions, we got a pretty shocking result saying that there's no testing over 10 gallons a minute. And we're pumping at 60 to 120 gallons a minute, and at that rate, it's actually atomizing the fuel and pushing it out at the same rate. So it's not just vapors; it's the actual product that we're breathing in.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I realized I got to do something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. How did you two team up?
We've been best friends for a long, long time. You know, and Harry was there when I got hurt, so he was real passionate about it. You know.
Mm-hmm. So. I want to ask you what the going through the competition. What did that do for you?
It was great. I mean, it gives you a good chance to get involved with the universities and stuff. Alan Herman, he helped me immensely. You know, I learned a lot from him. I'm an inventor and an innovator. I mean, I'm a maker.
Mm-hmm.
And learning the business side of things and the importance of a business plan, going through every aspect of your business and knowing every single detail that might happen and being prepared for it. You know, this gave us a really good chance to get in depth with that. And also, it got our names out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't explain what happened after we won this thing.
Explain what happened after you won this thing.
That's
why you're
here.
Jump right
that's
in.
That's the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
The phones didn't stop ringing afterwards. I mean, we had people in state, out of state, interested in investing in the companies now, so it got us a lot of attention.
I know this is radio, so we don't have pictures, but is there a way you can describe this system?
Without saying too much at this moment, it's just a sealed fuel delivery system. It's high flow capable. It's spillless. It's actually dry locked. So there's no wet surfaces ever exposed. It's the only vapor return industrial fuel delivery system out. It's cold weather rated, and it's got RFID tracking capabilities.
What does cold water rated mean?
Cold weather.
Cold weather rated. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, I mean, you said you're a maker mm-hmm. and an inventor. So I guess I don't want you to give away anything proprietary. That's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
How did you think about it? And, you know, can you talk about how you knew what you needed to do?
Why don't you describe how the fueling is done now? Because this blew my mind. I'm thinking like my car, but it's not like that at all. This is where... Describe how you currently fuel something like this at high velocities.
Currently, say like a fuel truck pulls up to a job site and it's got to fuel all the equipment there, the heaters and holding tanks and whatnot, home heating oil tanks. It's just a lot bigger than a gas station pretty much. The nozzle is a lot larger, but there's rarely self-stopping capabilities on them. So you're pretty much with the flashlight in their nozzle, staring in the opening, and it's just barreling out in your face, really.
That's a little scary. Yeah.
How much faster is it coming out than a regular car pump? It's like an order of magnitude or something crazy.
Oh, yeah, it's 60 to 120 gallons a minute. A regular car pump is restricted to 10 gallons a minute.
So you're basically eyeballing a fire hose of diesel.
Pretty much.
At very close air, yes. With a flashlight.
It's pretty much.
You and the diesel.
Yeah. If you actually lock the handle in at full open, you can hold the... He can hold the nozzle up with your palm and he'll push against it.
When was the last time this technology was updated? Like the early Ford days or something like that? I mean, this sounds like a pretty simplistic...
Yeah, it's almost hard to believe that in this day and age, with all our concern about all of this, you know, that it's been overlooked. Maybe it's because we're so far away? I don't know. I mean, all job sites across the U.S. would be... The same thing would be happening everywhere, right?
To a certain extent, what people mainly... the fuel manufacturers mainly focused on was delivering fuel faster. See, at the same point, people were actually focused on taking the benzenes and the naphthalenes, the hydrocarbons, out of the vapors, because that's what people were inhaling. Well, it was unknown until now, until I contacted EPA and everything, that it's actually atomized product. So.
Hmm. So, and how are you doing? Did you recover from your...
Yeah.
So it's fully recoverable, but really launched you on the...
I don't know. I mean, there might be future things. The doctor tried to tell me. I stopped him.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to know.
I don't want to know, honestly.
I'll be looking for it then.
Yeah.
Well, how about you, Harry? What's your role been here in this ACNUNA Technologies?
Well, basically, since he's basically suffered from the chemical pneumonia, man, I've been helping him out as much as possible to try and come up with a great system. Support with families and friends, of course. Basically, if he ever gets down, you know, like, hey, man, you still got this. We're going to get through this. I have a lot of contacts as well. Been introducing Brian to Richard Campbell is one. So basically, just trying to build a good team, find smart money, and take this to the next level for a safer fueling system,
So we did talk about what happened after the competition. So do people, you know, stroll through the back of that room when this is going on looking? I mean, is there a heightened interest for an idea that is just right? I mean, because they sound like they knew as soon as you won, or was it after it was announced that you got the interest?
Oh, it was immediately. We were getting calls immediately after we got done with that.
With the presentation?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mike, you look like you were going to jump in there.
Yeah, you know, so I think it was 2 years ago, maybe it was even 3 years ago, that they had split the competition into two sections, one for debt and one for equity. And I think, you know, the nice thing about the judges being split in that way is that, you know, what a banker looks for in connection with a company is much different than, say, an angel investor or somebody who's willing to put some venture capital into a deal. And so, you know, for a brand new startup, most bankers are, you know, that's just not, it's not a proven deal, and it's just sort of hard for a banker to kind of put that into a financing picture. But for something like this, you know, if there are contracts and things like that, you can get into different ways that you can finance it. But I suspect that for lots of things that are going down at the business plan competition, it's mostly venture capital, angel investors who are looking for opportunities to put their money into these businesses. And maybe you can chat a little bit about how that process has worked for you.
Well, it's been basically going left and right. You got people arguing, or not arguing, but like basically you got native corporations trying to take 51% or more of the company. And it's kind of hard to... give your whole business idea away right away, you know, for a first investment.
Step one, give it away. Doesn't sound right.
you got a great idea, but what you don't want to give it away. I know if you ever watch Shark Tank, you see the guys who are basically just starting out, they need first-round investors. You'll see all the sharks basically asking for a bigger portion of the company because it's not proven itself to be profitable. So you don't know, it's a really high risk. So that way, if you are looking for first-round investors, you're going to be getting hit with these guys that want a higher, you know, stakes in the business.
If they're going to take a big risk, they want the max return.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you got to really know how to lay it out for them and show them, you know, detail by detail, like, hey, this is how it's going to go down, and we have a promise of interest from this company and this company, letters, and then take it from there and just have the investor believe in you, and then also have an investor that can basically contribute to the business as well,
and also
just giving you money and saying, "Hey, have a good time."
See you when you write me a check.
Yeah.
If I could just add to that a little
sure.
bit. So I was asking John a little bit earlier about sort of what the trend is as far as giving up portion of company for first round financing. So anybody who is has money, they're going to want to know about three things, right? The first is the thing that everybody that's so sexy that everybody thinks about, which is it a good idea or isn't it? And a lot of times that's somewhat of a subjective thing, you know. But the other two really aren't, and that is management. You got to have good management to be able to run whatever you're going to start. And then the last is capital. And really that last piece is the part it's so critical, and it's really the cost of capital depends upon the risk to the investors. So bankers typically a lot less risk
willing to take that risk.
Yeah, because their return is so much less, whereas in connection with somebody who's going to put in all their money and hope for a huge return is willing to take a little more risk, but they're going to want a much bigger return for their investment.
But the quality of the idea is just as important for you. I mean, even if you're not going to... You know, I mean, part of that is persuasive that this is a good idea.
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons why these guys won the business plan competition. I think all the judges, and John maybe can speak to this a little bit. We all kind of looked around when we all went back and said, okay, who's the winner here? And we're all like, I can't believe this thing isn't already on the market. I mean, everybody said that, right?
First place was easy. It was the other two that were a little harder.
Interesting.
It's absolutely, and you're absolutely right. You look for those three things, and you know, you have to, as a business, as an entrepreneur, you have to factor in, all right, this is just round one of financing. If I'm eventually going to have to go to round two, if I've given up too much of the company first round, I have less leverage on the second round. And so that's a lot. People don't just generally think that far, but it's a real pitfall. You have to do long ball strategy when it comes to, you know, what you give up. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, what's on the table and what can you leverage out.
Right.
But what I loved about these guys is passion. I mean, it's got a wonderful backstory. I mean, obviously wonderful for Brian because he had to get pneumonia
to live through it. Yeah.
But it's a compelling story. It's obviously a proven problem. It's local. You know, if you deploy this just on the North Slope, it's still a viable company. I mean, it would be a phenomenal success. But it's also scalable, you know, globally.
Mm-hmm. Because the issue is everywhere.
Right. I mean, high speed fuel delivery is not limited to Alaska by any means.
And it isn't going away.
Right. Exactly. You know. Yeah. And so, you know, there's those aspects. They talk to the right people. They have a good team together to try to work on how to get this to market. It's, you know, AEDC has been working with Brian for a little while now, and we've been really impressed from day one about his commitment to the project and the project's viability.
Mm, well, very good. I just want, if you just tuned in, we're talking about entrepreneurship. We have the first place winners of the Alaska Business Plan Competition in the studio with us, and we also have two of the judges. And we actually have on the line one of the other winners, and he's calling all the way from San Francisco, so I want to give him his shot here on the radio. And hello, Jason, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for asking, Kathleen.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time. You're on vacation. You're having fun, but actually, an entrepreneur's work is never done, right? So, Jason, you were the second place winner. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the company that you pitched?
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm trying to start the business Alaska Natural Organics. It's an indoor growing business that's going to produce high quality fresh produce in Alaska year round. One of the big problems that a lot of people are facing is it's just when you go to the grocery store, it's just hard to find good quality produce. And when you do, it's very expensive. And so the big problem with Alaska is we've got such a short growing season. The costs to bring all this stuff in is so high, and it ends up being, you know, the consumer has to pay for it. And what you do get is a much poorer quality. And so you know, my idea is to fix that problem by being able to grow all this produce year-round indoors under artificial lighting with a combination of different nutrient delivery systems.
So it might be hydroponic, it might be something else?
Specifically, it's more of it's an aquaponic system. I'm going to be using fish waste to produce a high-quality organic fertilizer and grow the plants off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Won't be doing anything with the fish. The fish aren't there for human consumption or anything like that. They're just there to produce a high-quality fertilizer. But it'll all be organic, and it'll all be super fresh.
You know, I just saw a news account of Singapore where they have vertical farms. Did you happen to see that? Where they just have these rotating shelves of lettuces on the tops of buildings because they are importing so much. Like Alaska, they import so much of their vegetables and all that fresh produce. So listen, Brian, I wanted to know if our judges had anything to chime in here about, you know, when they heard your pitch or what you thought of it or how it became number two. What, you know, why did it win?
Well, I think one of the most compelling things for me with his project was his partnership with the Natural Pantry. I mean, it was like what Mike was talking about earlier. There was a built-in market. He had done his due diligence on the market research. It's a topic that when we talked about the TED Talks, I mean, over half the TED Talks were about food sustainability, local vor movement, the need for, you know, healthier choices for Alaskans. He hit all of those buttons, and he had the market research to back it up and the business partnerships to get off the ground.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Mike? Anything to chime in there?
Yeah, no, I think that was critical. You know, it's just as the banker, you're sitting there with the other banker, you kind of have these questions in your mind. And absolutely, you know, the notion that you've got already a market in place, that's kind of a different deal, right? I mean, so now you're moving further away from sort of just the brand new startup, you know, idea out the box. Now you've actually got, oh, there's going to be cash flow day one. It makes a huge difference.
Right. And Jason, for you, what was it like to go through the competition? What did you learn? Were there new insights that came from the discussions and the presentation you gave?
Well, certainly the actual business plan development, before I took on that sort of undertaking, I didn't really understand the full value of what it really is worth. And wanting to start a business, that business plan really does, it forces you to ask all the essential questions, because the one thing you don't want to do when you start a business is to be blinded by faith in your business on the hope that it'll work. And you need to answer all those questions beforehand. And you're answering for yourself, not just for yourself, but for your investors as well. And you don't want to be blinded. If it actually can't work, you need to be the first one to know that, so you don't keep putting forth all this energy and effort into a failed business venture. And so that's what that business plan did for me. And, of course, doing the competition, that focus and drive and being able to go through all the due diligence, it was a very exciting, well, worthwhile process for me.
Yeah. Are you looking for investors, hearing from investors, anything going on with you along those lines?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Like you mentioned, I'm down in California right now. There's a hydroponic farm management course I'm involved in San Diego starting early next week with Archie's Acres. But when I come back in the middle of August, I'll be meeting with investors.
Okay. All right. Well, Jason, I'm going to return you to, I hope San Francisco is as beautiful as Anchorage is today, because it's really gorgeous up here. But I want to thank you for taking the time to call in and share a little bit of your story with us.
Absolutely, anytime.
All right, take care and good luck. We'll watch for what happens with Alaska Organics.
Hey, thanks.
All right, bye-bye. you know, you guys, you two winners here. I'm thinking, if you had a little brother or you had somebody who said, I got an idea, you know, let's hear what some of the advice you would now give based on how you've moved down the road here.
First off, Google patent. Do a quick patent search. See if it's feasible, and if it patentable. That's one of the first things you have to look at. And if it is, obviously get a good lawyer, and then talk to people like Mr. Bittner over there.
Mr. Bittner, wow.
Some of the folks in this room, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there trying to help startup entrepreneurs in this state and trying to change it. You know, it's been a little rough in the past, and me and Harry luckily are just walking in the end of it. It's getting a lot better. Mm-hmm. And we're getting a lot of help and assistance.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different organizations that go out there.
Yeah. And how about you, Harry?
Same advice. Basically, you know, look it up. Make sure that no one else has it out there in the world. And as patents go, you know, you can patent things in America, but you also have to patent things worldwide. So that's a whole nother level right there. But, yes, getting a lawyer, business plan, and basically then starting to look for you know, investors. Mm-hmm. And if you can come up with the prototype on your own, that's pretty beneficial as well, because then actually investors can see what the product looks like, how it
works, which really helps.
It's actually, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. effective.
Do you guys have a prototype?
For Mackinac Marine, yes, we do. It's rigorously tested and proven very, very well. We actually just had the Anchorage Fire Department take it out in their Swift Water Response and Rescue. And, They were absolutely blown away. We actually became the first people to go up Dragon's Tooth Rapid and Eagle River with it, uh-huh. up and down a few times.
Let me tell the audience, we didn't tell them what McKinnon Marine was. you know, we talked about the sealed fuel delivery system. Mm-hmm. We talked about Jason's organics, but we really didn't talk about. And I did say at the top that you were first and third place winners, but we didn't explain how that happened. So, what is the product?
The product is a LumaSki right now. It's a ruggedized personal watercraft. It's pretty much the first ever sport utility personal watercraft. It's built and designed around running rivers, but also capable of going into deep water and ocean with the swells and everything. It's extremely stable. It's pretty much impossible to flip. It's pontooned in, so it's almost impossible to sink. And it carries well over 1,000 pounds and 2 inches of water at 2.8 gallons an hour.
Now, you did not have to get rescued from the ocean, and that gave you the idea for this.
No.
I mean, you don't draw all of your ideas from personal experience. Where did this idea come from?
This idea actually came from I wanted to go up 6 Mile Rapids out of Hope, and I started off to build a watercraft to do that, and we ended up doing it last year, September 19th.
Yeah, my birthday.
Yeah. September 19th, which is a world record with it, so.
What do you mean it's a world record? I'm sorry.
No one's ever gone up a Class 6 rapid with a personal watercraft.
I see.
Up, not down.
Okay. going up for anyone would be quite.
Especially 6 Mile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been on 6 Mile, but I mean.
Try going down it. You know,
yeah. There are stories about people going down it, so going up it.
Yeah.
You would have to have more than the craft, some skill, I would suggest, right?
To a certain extent, yeah. I just kind of pinned it and held on. Pick my line.
Great.
Yeah.
And so this is it for recreation or is it mostly for, you know, saving people? I mean, the speed of it sounds like it's kind of useful in rescue situations.
Yeah, our initial market is search and rescue and response. We're talking to DOD right now about a unmanned watercraft design that I have for rivers. And it's got a new hydrogen technology from Vodic Labs. It's a hydrogen fuel technology into a fuel cell to a 120 horse electric motor. So it's going to be completely stealth, and it's capable of actually taking equipment like ammo, guns, food, supplies upriver, and it's big enough to fit a wounded person inside of it to come back downriver. It's going to be made of titanium with Kevlar.
Does it have a cabin on it?
Yeah, it's a kind of a clamshell design.
Wow. So you do make things, clearly.
Yeah.
Well, if you've just joined us, we're talking about Alaska's version of entrepreneurship, and you're just hearing from two young winners of the Alaska Business Plan Competition. It was Acnuna Technologies placed first. It's a sealed refueling system.
Yes, ma'am.
And we also heard from Jason Smith calling in from San Francisco, who's away right now, but just trying to address the issue of getting fresh food cheaply in Alaska. So he's talking about a kind of hydroponic or natural growing system for vegetables. And then we just mentioned the third place winner for this year, which was a high-speed watercraft of some sort. So I want to thank, you know, you, Brian. I didn't really follow our directive to keep introducing our names. There's so many of us in the studio today. We want to remind people of who we are when we speak, because we all, except for me, you all sound the same, right? So let's see. What kinds of advice did you guys have for the third place winner? What reactions did you have? Judges?
You know,
sharks?
the reactions we had, I mean, it was one of the concerns was the manufacturing capabilities in Alaska. There isn't a whole lot of manufacturing done up here, so there was some questions about that I thought Brian handled very, very well as logistics and distribution. I mean, one of the fundamental difficulties with trying to start a manufacturing industry in this state is that unless your market is
local
or Asia, we have a pretty brisk Asia trade and a lot of capacity to ship things. It's a little more difficult to compete with lower 48 markets, but the product that he's pitching was very unique, and there was some value add there that we thought overcame that, which is why he got the third place position.
Do you have manufacturing plans?
Yes, I do.
Local?
We're going to start out outsourcing it, but we're going to move local, yes. We want the jobs to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And we have recently found out, I can't really speak too openly about it, but we recently got an opportunity out of a trust out of California that's going to change a lot of things here.
I love talking to entrepreneurs. That's always a secret. I can't really reveal right now. This is Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. This first half hour, we've been talking about the Alaska Business Plan Competition. And in the next half hour, we're going to look ahead to some opportunities for entrepreneurs this summer. So thank you for listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. If you missed part of today's program or would like to listen again to Hometown Alaska, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and we're talking about entrepreneurship today, and we have some fabulous people in the studio with us. We talked in the first half hour about the Alaska Business Plan Competition put on by local universities and businesses in Anchorage. It's annual. It's been going on for a decade, and we happen to have the first place winners in the studio with us. So hi, Harry, and hi, Brian.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome back for the second half hour. And then we have also what we jokingly call the sharks, based on the TV show Shark Tank, where entrepreneurs have to go make their pitch to vicious angel investors, I guess. But anyway, our two sharks are really not sharks. They are nurturing, supportive folks and want to see entrepreneurship thrive in Alaska. So welcome back, John Bittner from AEDC.
Thank you.
And Mike Martin from Northrim Bank.
Hello.
So I do want to say to, you know, our entrepreneurs out there in the Alaska radio land, we have a couple of really sharp, four really sharp folks here with us today. And if you want to run an idea by them, I would say, why not? You know, or we got a lot of good advice from Brian and Harry in the first half hour. Also, and actually from John and Mike. So this is really an opportunity for you to, you know, air your idea, run it up the flagpole and get a little initial reaction. So anyway, I promised our listeners that in the second half hour, by the way, let me throw out the phone number for folks. I just invited them to call and didn't give them the phone number. So let's make it easy for our listeners.
Give them my cell.
So give us a call at 550-8433, or you can send an email to hometown@alaskapublic.org. Or if you're outside of Anchorage, we can take you long distance at 1-888-353-5752. So let's move into a little discussion of the opportunities for entrepreneurs this summer. And I saw on the AEDC website a whole initiative for this.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot, some events, some calendar events. So, John, let's go to you and hear a little bit about that.
Sure. AEDC is trying to spearhead a statewide entrepreneurship week. It's going to be the last week of July, first couple days of August. And in that week, we're hoping that as many organizations and communities and entrepreneurs as possible will focus their efforts within that. Well, we call it a week. It's actually more of a fortnight. Unfortunately, we had some scheduling issues. But
I thought that was very creative.
It runs from the 25th of July to August 5th. And, you know, scheduling all these different events sort of on the same time period allows people to sort of leverage marketing dollars and to also bring a lot of new people into the entrepreneurship sphere by just generating more interest and noise. We're kicking it off.
Is this the first ever?
This is the first ever. We came up with this in connection with Christy Bell over at the College Center for Economic Development with the University of Alaska and several other community partners. And We decided that there was more activity going on in entrepreneurship in the last 2 years than we've seen in a really long time. And we really wanted to sort of capture that and try to focus it and show people what's possible.
Sort of feeling ripe.
Exactly, right? And there was a lot of, you know, these individual threads, and they weren't able to leverage a lot of what they were doing. But hopefully, by bringing them all together, we can sort of increase even what we're seeing now in entrepreneurship. And we're starting it off with a maker fair on the 27th at the Lusac
Library. This would interest
Library.
You, Brian.
He's actually one of our presenters.
We're okay,
looking
I'm
forward
not,
to having
I
Brian
have
there.
To say I'm not surprised. Yeah, yeah. That's good.
I'm trying to talk him into letting me take the jet ski out in the pond.
I tell you what, we're trying to talk LUSAC into letting you do that. It's not me you have to convince. I'm in. I just got to get Mary Jo a glass of wine or something and see if
the piece of art is in that pond right there. So it doesn't have much draft, is that right?
No, not at all. 2 inches of water.
Look, oh, wow. Safely. All right.
Him and the ducks. It's going to be awesome.
All right. Well, I'm going to break and take a caller because we do have a caller. Welcome, Alan.
Oh, Kathleen.
Hi, Alan. Nice to hear from you.
Wow. Always good talking with you. It's a great show you're having.
I knew you would like it, Alan. This is your life work, so...
One question I had is, I know Alaska is like one of the last plays for risk capital for investing in people like these winners. And I understand John Bittner's involved with the 49th State Angel Fund. And I wasn't sure if any of that Municipality of Anchorage 49th State Angel Fund money, either directly or indirectly, might be investing in any of these winners.
Well, I tell you what, the 49th State Angel Fund is one of the most interesting initiatives that have come out of the last 2 years. The Municipality of Anchorage, for those of you that don't know, received about $13 million from the federal government to sort of encourage entrepreneurial startups as well as to encourage the growth of angel funds themselves. It's being managed by Joe Morrison and guided very, very adeptly by the municipality's CFO, Lucinda Mahoney, and of course, Alaska's chief encouragement officer, Alan Johnston.
Mr. Alan Johnston.
Exactly. The man who does it all. And they just closed their second round of financing. They've invested in several businesses as well as a few funds. The details, it takes a while to work these things. So
none of it's not public yet?
Most of them aren't public. There's I believe there's two deals, and I won't talk about them right now just in case they're not, but there's definitely two deals that they're either in final stages or have just closed on. And then the second round, they should have something in a few months.
It's pretty exciting.
It's fantastically exciting. I tell you, it's slow going right now because it's a brand new type of, investment model. Alaska's never seen anything like this before. The Municipality of Anchorage is actually the first, if not still the only municipality to actually receive this. Normally the funds go to a state.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a huge opportunity. They basically invented their own program, and it's been a real success so far. Mm-hmm. So I think I don't know if there's any direct funding for Brian's project to date, but it is a possibility for projects
going
like
forward,
this. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the funds that are created through the 49th SAF would absolutely also encourage entrepreneurial growth and financing in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. So actually another reason to think about signing up for next year's competition.
Absolutely. It's a good way to get noticed real fast.
Yeah. So thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Appreciate you calling in. And I'm going to go to another caller. Hi, Jeff from Eagle River. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
What's your question about?
Well, I actually don't have a question. I have a comment. I work for the Anchorage Fire Department, and I'm a member of the Swiftwater Rescue Team for Eagle River. And we had the opportunity to use Brian's watercraft out on Eagle River to do some of our training on June 12th. And even my greatest skeptic, who is a gentleman who has a lot of time in personal watercraft and light watercraft, at the end of that said, I was kind of skeptical, but I've decided that I'm quite impressed with this.
Nice.
And nice to have a testimonial on the air.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Are you given free rides, Brian? I want to have a personal experience here. So, yeah, it passed the test for the fire department, huh?
Yes, we were
rescue.
Quite impressed with it, mm-hmm. And one of my coworkers has already determined after talking, he talked with his wife before we did this, and she told him, if you like it, just plan on buying one. So when Brian actually gets him off the ground, he's got at least one sale out of the station.
Now, did you pay this guy to call in? He's shaking his head. No, he did not pay you.
No, he didn't. He didn't pay me to call. But the opportunity to use the device, the machine, see it perform, see it jump a log, get it stuck on a sandbar, and drag it out and fire it back up, and have it just take off and go, demonstrate that it's a very solid, very stable, very tough craft that will work well in the typical Alaskan river environment.
Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of rivers. We have a lot of people who travel up those rivers and have places to go. Yeah.
Forgetting about Dragon's Tooth Rapid.
This is Brian. Yeah. What's drag? What is that, Brian?
Oh, they had me go up this giant log jam with water going around it in the middle of rapids. Just to see if it could do it.
You be careful, Brian. I don't want you to get hurt again.
Sorry. We had a whole team of firefighters.
What Brian demonstrated for us with that, though, is Brian demonstrated that these craft will give us all river capability. And currently, we either put in above that rapid known either as the Dragon's Tooth or the Campground Rapid right at Eagle River Campground.
Right.
Or we put in below it. Mm-hmm. Because currently we do not have all river capability, and this craft has demonstrated that it is all river capable.
That's pretty interesting. So thanks, Jeff. I really appreciate that. It sounds like something people will be waiting for. Maybe a little pressure on the entrepreneurs to move along here, huh? Get this on the market.
We're moving as fast as we can. Thank you very much for calling in, Jeff.
Yeah.
Always good hearing from
Indeed.
You.
Thank you, Jeff.
You have a good day.
You too.
Thanks
for calling in. Let's go back. I just want to make sure we get all those entrepreneurial opportunities out.
Oh, sure.
So John Bittner from AEDC, let's continue on a little bit with the Entrepreneurship Week and the opportunities there.
Sure. Well, AEDC is, like I said, doing the Maker Faire, and that's going to be on the 27th at the LUSAC Library, inside and out. The booths are free for people like Brian who make things and want to show off what they're doing. There's a real educational component to it. It's not just about showcasing cool inventions. It's also about teaching people how to be makers. Soldering classes, robotics, electronics, programming. It's going to be a real fun time.
Is it free?
It's $5 for adults, free for kids, I believe, 15 and under.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a nominal cost. We're not, you know, it's not going to be a big moneymaker, but it basically just covers.
It's to open the door here.
Exactly.
You know, I just got an app on my iPhone that was called DIY. It's so much fun. It's all these makers, and they get a little 30-second video to tell you what they made. It must be the same movement.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a big nationwide movement. I mean, everybody, anyone you can think of is probably a maker in some way or another. This isn't just about entrepreneurship. It's about, you know, people with a passion and a skill that they like to do things. Is it woodworking? Is it robotics, mechanics, programming?
Mm-hmm.
All of it's making. Even, you know, the culinary arts. I roast my own coffee. I mean, that's making in a certain way. It's just about, you know, developing a skill through your passion and then showing others and teaching others who are interested in learning.
So it may generate entrepreneurial ideas or it may not.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's more focused around creativity and innovation, which the more of that you have eventually, the more viable business ideas you're going to get.
I see. It's almost like a practice. Like if you sort of generate ideas and see them through, you get better at it.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. And you meet other people with different skill sets, and eventually that Brownian motion of putting that much, you know, intelligence and skill in one room, you're going to get something interesting coming out of it,
right,
for sure.
Right.
So we're really excited about that. That's also the first one that's ever been done in Alaska, the Anchorage Mini Maker Fair. It's tied with a national group called Make Magazine, and they license out these smaller fairs to different communities. We're going to follow that up with a entrepreneurial mixer over at the new Anchorage Community Works facility down in Ship Creek. That should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a meet and greet for investors and potential entrepreneurs to sort of talk together and, you know, see what's going on in the community. The Wednesday, I think it's the 30th, is going to be our luncheon with Jim Clifton. Thank you. Oh, look at this, a cheat sheet.
I got it off your website.
Obviously, Val's told you about my memory problems. The AEDC's economic luncheon is going to be on the 31st, and that's going to have featured Jim Clifton, who's the CEO of Gallup. And that's going to be a lot of fun. It's AEDC's sort of annual luncheon.
That's
July
a big
luncheon.
Annual event. A lot of people wait for that. Yeah.
It's one of the biggest. It's actually the second biggest business luncheon in Alaska. The first biggest is our January luncheon. So it's a great opportunity to mix and mingle with, you know, 1,200 to 1,600 other business leaders and to hear sort of cutting edge economic development theory. That's going to be followed by the hackathon that we're putting on August 3rd and 4th. This will be the third hackathon we've done. This
now, for those who don't know, help us.
Sure.
What's a hackathon?
This is great. We basically take a bunch of civic-minded programmers, and we put them in a room with, you know, nonprofits, government representatives, things like that, and they determine ways to leverage their programming skill sets to improve the community somehow. In the past, we've used people mover data we've tied it to Google Maps so that people can get live updates on where their bus is so they don't have to wait outside in the winter for as long.
Or they know how long they're going to be waiting.
Exactly, right. You know, you bundle up a little more. This last one, we had a group develop a Mountain View Art Walk. using augmented reality. So you can take your phone or your iPad or something like that and walk through Mountain View in this geolocated, all the different art installations. You walk up to it, you scan it with your phone, and up pops biographies of the artist, video of anything, history of the area. It was and they did it in a weekend. I mean, I can't build a spice rack in a weekend, but these guys can, you know, do cutting-edge technology. It's really amazing.
That's pretty fun.
And then last but not least, one of the really fun events that we're going to be doing is going to be a pitch on a train competition. So this is, if BizPlan competition is like Shark Tank on a university campus, this is like Shark Tank on a train. we're gonna take some of the top business plans and startups in Alaska, those that have been already vetted by the community. Brian, I believe, is going to be on there as the winner of the BizPlan competition. We've got the person who raised money through our Kiva Zip Loan program, which is a crowdfunded microloan program that we promote. The winner of the Arctic Innovation Competition, hopefully, and several others. We're putting them on a train car with about 10 different angel investors, investment bankers, business leaders, and entrepreneurs. And they get a couple minutes to pitch their business plan on the way from Anchorage to Girdwood. We offload at Girdwood, we offload at Portage, go to the Alyeska Resort. There's going to be an award ceremony, a lunch, and then everybody buses back.
Is there a winner, actually? Or
there will be a winner. This one's there's going to be a winner, and the prizes are going to be varied. Some of it is going to be sort of support services. We're working with a co-location office facility to try to get office space. GCI has agreed to be a sponsor, hopefully some of their business services. Things along that line that businesses need sort of day-to-day to take some of the costs off, and then we're working on other prizes as well.
That's very cool. We've got about 15 minutes left, and I wanted to sort of open it up a little bit and talk about, we alluded to it in the first half hour, that the climate is right now, you know, even you, Brian, the winner of the competition said, it's been tough. But I would like to talk a little bit about why it's different now. I did mention that I'd found a CNN Money article, the top 10 states for entrepreneurship. That's on the alaskapublic.org website if you haven't seen it. Alaska comes in at number 4, at least it's the 4th on the list, and a couple reasons why it's there. And then there was another one in Fast Company that I got a call about the other day that someone said, hey, we're number 5. That's, you know, wow, let's talk about that. So, you know, we seem to be getting a little attention and some notice, but what's really fundamentally changing here, and who would like to tackle that?
Well, maybe I
That's
can talk.
That's Mike. Yeah. Mike from North Rim Bank.
Yeah, okay. So maybe I can talk to that a little bit. I mean, from my perspective, and you know, John and I have both been judges for the last 3 years, and I think absolutely the quality of the business plans have gone way up. And from my perspective, as somebody who reads it as a banker, it's because they're more real. I mean, the things that are being brought forward now, I think, have been vetted even further than what we had seen in the past. I think there are more folks that are out there helping people along, and you know, there's been a lot of folks from the university and private sector and angel investors who've been trying to help folks come along with the, you know, you had talked before about, is there a winner on the train? Well, anybody who gets funded is a winner.
Well, I was going to say, there's two kinds of winners. If you get funding, you're a winner anyway, and then there might be just
The goal here is to actually get a business up and running so that people have good jobs and, you know, the community benefits from that. And that's the real goal here, is to get these things truly funded so that folks are up and making money. That's what we're all about.
So the ideas are getting a little sharper, sounds like we're hearing. A little more vetted, a little more mature maybe. Maybe a little more answering a need that's obvious in the community. What about the money? Is the money there?
Well, that's where it gets interesting. There's been some fundamental changes in the way that startups get funded in terms of crowdfunding, in terms of more nuanced angel and venture investing, as well as, you know, banks having to take on a different role in the startup investment finance. The one that AADC is really excited about, of course, is crowdfunding. Now, for really early stage, this is, you know, super high risk or things that don't quite fit an investment model mold. This is a fantastic way to A, test your idea in a public, you know, public setting very cheaply. But B, if you get the money, it tends to be debt-free, equity-free. So, you know, 8 out of 10, I think, businesses fail within the first 3 years. If that happens, nobody's losing their house. You're not in debt for the rest of your life.
And it's a little bit of money from a lot of people.
Exactly. You're spreading the risk out over a bunch of people. So for folks that don't know, it's It's a way of raising small amounts of money from a large group of people online towards a larger goal. Like, say you need $10,000, PopCycle. This is my favorite example. Kate Riley has this great little business called PopCycle. She has this adorable little three-wheeled bicycle with a cooler on the side. She makes delicious popsicles out of locally sourced berries and
rhubarb.
Rhubarb. Oh, yeah. God, that rhubarb thing is ridiculous. Yeah. And she bikes around to the Saturday markets and on the coastal trails. This isn't the kind of business that you're going to get venture funding for. It'd be tough to go to a bank and say, you know, I need money for a commercial kitchen. So she put her project up on Kickstarter, and she said, I need a commercial kitchen to expand my ability to make these popsicles. And she raised, I think, $12,000 or $13,000 in a month. And now she's got the commercial kitchen. She'll be actually at AEDC later today. I was a donor on the Kickstarter campaign, and I got an office party. So I'm bringing her to our offices to do popsicles.
So we'll all be over at John's office.
You should. There's 25 popsicles and only eight employees at AEDC. So we're either going to
get
really fat. It's going to be delicious.
Yeah. So crowd. Sourced. That's really not really an Alaskan phenomenon. That's all over the U.S. It's all over the world.
It's global, and it's. Yeah. I think Kickstarter alone did something like $300 million worth of successfully crowdfunded projects just last year.
Mm-hmm.
The projection is that it'll be up in a $1 billion range within the next 3 years, and mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty solid estimate. I don't think that's a hyperbole. There's also the chance of equity-based crowdfunding through the Jobs Act. But to be honest with you, from an Alaskan point of view, I don't think that matters to us as much. I really think a rewards-based is the way to go. It's low risk, low maintenance. We're relatively new to the entrepreneurial game. And I think a large part of that is because the economy here is so good. Entrepreneurship, generally speaking, is driven by two things. You have a really strong research, you know, university or research industry in your area, or you have a depressed economy and people are having to create their own jobs. We don't really have either of those things, you know, or the population that comes with it. But because of the rise of maker movements and the ease of which you can learn how to teach yourself programming or any of these things, the ability to become an entrepreneur has never been easier. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think also sort of the traditional financing model for a startup is either people save their money and then at some point say, oop, I got enough money, I'm going to start it. Or alternatively, they don't have any money, and so they ask everybody they know to give them some money, and then they find themselves eventually to some venture capitalist who says, yeah, I'll give you money, but I'm going to take half of your business.
Yeah,
and I think now, started to mature a little bit in the sense that people know a little bit more, and I think there are more folks out there that are not only entrepreneurs, but also people with money who are looking to invest as well. And I think I've seen this as well, right? So there are more people out there that are willing to finance and maybe not necessarily take so much of the business on the upfront. Mm-hmm. So,
and that was a banker. That's Mike Martin from Northern Bank talking.
So. Yeah. So typically, you know, startup, you know, if you're a startup company and you go to a traditional bank, even with SBA, you have a hard time finding funding for the reason I talked about before, which is the rate of return for the risk that's associated with the startup. High risk and high return for those people who invest in it.
And one of the things that's tough here is our distance away from supplies, you know, or getting, if it's not a local market, it's Asia, as you pointed out earlier, John. But it's getting the raw materials up here, I guess, in a lot of cases.
It depends on the industry you're trying to break into, but what's interesting is as technology sort of goes digital, or as, you know, technologies like 3D printing come online, you can actually develop something here in Alaska but have it produced elsewhere. So one of the really fascinating things about 3D printing, there's a website out there called Shapeways, I believe, and you do the 3D CAD design, you develop a product or whatever it is, and you upload it to this website, and this website will sell it for you. They have a whole bank of industrial scale 3D printers. So people get on there kind of like Amazon, and they buy your product. Shapeways takes a percentage, they make it, they ship it, and they take it out.
I have not heard of that before. Yeah.
It's fantastic. Honestly, mm-hmm. Because of the limitations of the current 3D printing technology, you're not talking about, you know, industrial parts, but eventually you will be. For an analogy, we're in sort of the dot matrix printer level of 3D printing technology, but eventually it's going to get to the laser printer level, and that's going to be a wild game changer.
Right. I'm sure. I want to go to these young entrepreneurs here and hear from them a little bit about the climate that they find. I mean, maybe you'd be doing this anyway. It sounds, Brian, like you would be, I don't know, I almost want to ask you, what else have you invented along the way? Because you sound like that's the way you think.
Oh, just, I've been building, I mean, my father's been building stuff his whole life, and we kind of followed behind him. I mean, anything and everything I can make, I know that if someone else can make it, I can make it.
You know, that reminds me of almost of an old Alaskan, when you couldn't get things here, you had to figure out how to do it yourself. It almost, harkens back to an era when life was a little harder in Alaska. Was your dad in Alaska at that time?
Yes, he was. And that's one of the things about Alaskans is, you know, not a lot of them realize how innovative we are and how almost all of us are inventors. It's crazy. We have to modify everything we have just to be stronger. I mean, you look at boats and people make stuff for boats that it blows my mind. You know, I'll sit there and you have no clue how profitable that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people don't think about it here. It's just
they
what
just
we do.
Want to fix this thing that
yeah,
needs
exactly.
fixing right now, but you're thinking, hey, other people need that too.
Yeah, yeah. And people are starting to get more and more aware, and it's becoming an option, you know.
Yeah.
Instead
yeah.
of just.
And neither of you are products of business schools. You're just real world entrepreneurs. What
yeah.
did you say?
Actually, I took
That's
some
Harry.
Business classes at Saddleback, Irvine, and Santa Ana. I lived down in Orange County for a little while, and I just kind of. Did all kinds of school, psychology, math. I mean, I did it all.
Trying to figure out where you fit in.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And as I was going through school, through the business classes, I've realized, oh, wow, well, it's really about going out there and just going after it. Don't have to keep putting my money into this college to keep up.
You don't have to pay tuition all the time. You can just go out and
just
test the waters
mm-hmm.
yourself. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's all about shaking hands and stuff, of course. But, Alaskans are innovators. I have a handful of friends that always have good ideas or are coming up with good ideas. I come up with good ideas all the time, even with apps. You know, they're just so simple sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so new. But as with 3D printing, though, in Alaska being so far away, this is going to be the future.
I know I heard you can get, you know, a tabletop model yeah. for $500 and you can start making whatever you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the price has really come down.
Oh yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
soon, when your alternator or something else goes out in your car, you could just go print it, you know.
So. You break a spoon in the kitchen, just make another one. Right.
There you go.
Right. So, you know, I feel like it's even bigger than Alaska. I feel like it's kind of global where this idea that major institutions that used to just deliver everything are stumbling and struggling because of complex issues or whatever. And so people are kind of rising to the, you know, the big reliable institutions aren't necessarily always there. So, I mean, I even think about banks, you know, Mike. People used to think, well, I got to go to the bank and get a loan. Well, now they might go to the internet and do, you know, Kiva or something else. And I mean, is that a threat at all to the business, to your industry?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, North Rim Bank, we hold ourselves out as being a local bank, and we kind of think of ourselves as local innovators as well. And, you know, and I think that this notion of what is local and what is a community is a huge issue. And, you know, I think we try to distinguish ourselves as being, hey, we're the local guys. We're here. We all live here. We know what's going on and what Alaskans need. And so that's kind of the space that we're holding ourselves out in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So there's always going to be a need for banks. Even if there's crowdfunding, there's still going to be. I mean, you're talking about scaling things up.
Yeah,
and then you need a banker.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely complementary and not competitive because,
yeah.
I mean, the types of deals, even on the online, loan services like Prosper and LendingTree, these are the kind of things that I don't think Northrim would. I mean, you're back into the risk problem.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason these people go there.
Mm-hmm.
But it serves a purpose. And if they can build up their credit that way, then maybe they can leverage that to get into a bank loan later on. It's a better deal for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. The cost of capital is a whole lot less if you go with a traditional bank. You know, you had asked a question earlier about if you were, you know, if you were to talk to a young entrepreneur, what would you tell them? And I would say, hey, you know, you need a crowd of people to help you out. You know, I think and I tell this to my current customers, even well-established folks, I say, hey, you need a good lawyer, you need a good insurance person, you need a good accountant, and, you know, at some point, hopefully you're going to need a good banker.
Yeah.
And listen to them all, and they're all going to have their own spin. But at the end of the day, and I think one of the things that distinguish these two folks is it's your decision. You're the one that has to make that decision. And you can see that come out as a judge. You can see this sort of amazing entrepreneurial spirit. It's pretty cool.
Oh, well, we have to go. I want to thank the guests in the studio today. That you've been all terrific. Thanks to Mike Martin from North Rim Bank. Thanks, John Bittner from the AEDC, Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. Harry Leffler from ACNUNA, the partner of Brian McKinnon. And that is ACNUNA Technologies, the first place winners of the Alaska Business Plan. I would like to let you know that Hometown is taking July off. So we'll be back on the first week of August with our regular community programming. Pat Yak is Vice President of Public Media. Kristen Spack is our audio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy. Thank you.
Hometown Alaska is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.